supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
With clear night skies, the Geminid meteor shower comes into view this week. Let's look aloft with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, what part of the sky are we looking in and which days are featured?
It's this Wednesday and Thursday evenings that we're going to look over to the northeastern portion of the sky where the constellation Gemini, which is better known as a springtime constellation, late at night will be making its debut. But accompanying the constellation itself will be the meteors that you spoke of, the Geminid meteors. Now, the Geminids are actually members of the most prominent meteor shower of the year. And not too long ago, a decade or so, it was the Perseid meteor shower that was the prominent shower. This is the one that everybody knows that happens every summer in August. And of course, it's a great time to go out and view these objects as they zoom into our atmosphere when the temperature is nice and warm. The challenge, of course, with the Geminids is that it happens in mid-December, when it's much more likely for the temperature to be cold and maybe not as inviting to be out. But in the winter, of course, the skies can be much clearer, so that might give us a better view of these objects as they come zipping into the atmosphere.
What time in the night sky? As soon as it gets dark?
You know, the best way to view meteors always is to do your viewing between midnight and sunrise as the Earth is rotating into the stream of meteors as we're heading towards sunrise. Because of that, the Earth is turning into the stream of meteors. However, maybe you're not able to be up between midnight and sunrise for whatever reason. So I always say, just go out as soon as the sky gets dark and hang out for as long as you can. Find some period of time, a half an hour during the course of the evening, when you can be out to try to see some of these meteors as long as the sky is dark. Clear sky is always helpful also.
What's the flow rate of this stream?
Well, this one is pretty intense. It's nearly 100 per hour, or around 100 per hour, easily viewable. If you're under clear, dark skies, you can enhance this chance of seeing that many if you go out with friends that can also look around other directions. Remember, we're not just one big eye, so we have to look in different directions. That means we might miss something coming from a different direction. But if you go out with friends, not only does it enhance the experience just because you're out with friends, but because you're looking in different directions, you might see many more. The Perseid meteor shower only peaks around 60, 65 an hour, which in itself is a lot, but 100 per hour, well, that's pretty good. So hopefully, clear, dark skies, and you have some friends with you, you might be able to count a significant number.
You said just recently the Perseid was the predominant shower. Did this come as a surprise, this transition to Geminid reigning superior? Did this come as a surprise with Geminid now ascendant?
Well, the interesting thing about this is that we know that the dynamics of meteor showers changes over time. So ones may become more prominent than others do, and that may change over time simply because there's a denser portion of the stream along the orbit of the object that creates the original material. In this case, the original material comes from an asteroid as opposed to a comet. The asteroid is known as 3200 Phaeton. So right now we're in a part of that meteor stream that's much richer than other parts of the stream have been, so this could also change over time.
And while you're already out of doors, what other treats are there to be seen in the December night sky?
You know, while the evening sky may not be so exciting to see because there aren't any bright planets left, in the morning sky we have a really beautiful setup of the Moon, Mars, and Jupiter, particularly this week. On Wednesday morning, the 13th, Mars will be not too far from the Moon. In fact, just a little bit to the right and just a little below the Moon, nice reddish color. And then Jupiter the next morning, Thursday morning, you'll be able to recognize that immediately because it's the brighter of the planets. And it's the same position again. The Moon will be to the upper left of Jupiter. And this is around 5:30 to 6:30 in the morning. And if the sky is clear, it'll be beautiful because the Moon is at a very, very thin crescent. It's 2 days away from new, so it's about the thinnest of a crescent you can imagine. But with the planets, that always makes a beautiful panoply of planets and the Moon seen together in the pre-dawn sky.
Lastly, looking out to Sunday, that date summons anniversary memories of the work of one Orville Wright.
And indeed, it is a remarkable time. It was 114 years ago on December 17th, 1903, that Orville Wright took the first powered flight in some kind of powered aircraft. We now know what that looked like. It was a biplane of unusual design in a sense. It's very alien to what we think of these days as aircraft. But the thing that's most remarkable to me about that is that not too much later, 69 years later, the Apollo 17 spacecraft landed on the moon with the last crew of astronauts to visit the moon. It was Harrison Schmitt and Gene Cernan who walked around on the moon for a couple of days collecting rocks, setting experiments, and bringing back materials to us. And just to think in that short period of time, 69 years from powered flight all the way out to taking people to the moon, was a remarkable period of time for people to live across. And we still think about the achievements when we look up at the moon, even if it's that very thin crescent we see in the pre-dawn sky, and imagine what it must have been like for those gentlemen to leave the moon just 3 days later on that Thursday of that week.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight. Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. You can hear more of our conversation at newsworks.org. Thank you, Diana. Great.